be dismissed, and folks got plans tomorrow. Amen. Thank God for all of you that are here. Amen. I believe God's going to help us. Amen. Yeah, I was working one time cleaning windows, and some years back, and a lady, I was talking to a lady. I would always witness when I was cleaning windows and talk to people about the Lord. And one lady said, I used to go to church, but I quit going. She said, I quit going for 10 years. And I said, well, what happened? Well, you know, what was it that made you quit? And she says, somebody offended me. I said, well, what was it that they said? She said, they insulted the Queen of England in her British accent, you know. And I thought, okay, what else? Well, there had to be something else. She said, no, this person insulted the Queen of England, and that was enough to make her quit going to church. You know, I think it's funny, but, you know, people get offended over some things that are not that big of a deal, don't they? Sometimes it is a big deal. I'm not saying offenses don't come, because Jesus points it out right here in Luke chapter 17. I hope you're there. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. And Jesus recognized this would happen. This is the follow-up of this morning's message on having a spirit of encouragement. We need to know how to deal with things. When things come our way, and the devil is sure to bring something that's going to tick us off. How many know we need to have some thick skin? It would help us to get thick skin on some things. And sometimes it's not that easy. There are things that hurt. How many know words hurt? Sometimes people say things that are quite offensive, but Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses would come. How many know that's impossible means impossible? That means they're bound to happen. Somebody, somewhere, at some point is going to say something that is going to bring an offense. Oh, we don't like to be offended. In 2017, people are offended by so many ridiculous things. They're offended by a statue. Right? Offended by something somebody says. Oh, you can't say that. You might offend somebody. When we were over in Ireland and we were preaching there, and there people were testifying. Andrea was sharing a little bit of her testimony to some young people. They were this, maybe 14, 15 years old. And one of them immediately piped up and said, she's against homosexuals. And she said, I never said anything like that. But, you know, people immediately think, well, they're being offensive. You can't say anything in some places, especially in Canada, now in the United Kingdom and different places. You can't say anything that is going to come across or seem offensive. But Jesus says it's impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through who they do come. Now, I've met some people, they make it their life's mission to offend people. How many know what I'm talking about? If you invite them for Thanksgiving, if you get the whole family there, you can pretty much count on it. They're going to say something that's going to offend somebody. If it's politics, if it's about something, you know, color or whatever else, they're going to say something that's offensive because they just can't help it. They can't help themselves. And we need to know how to deal with those things. There are several responses that we can have, and I want to give you these real quick. We just move through this kind of quick this evening because they are they're common to our fleshly nature. And, you know, we have to guard against allowing the devil to get any kind of a foothold. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. So there are a couple of responses, and I want to just hone in on a couple of these in a moment. But one is a self-centered response, where we make ourselves, we ponder the situation, the things that were said, and we are consumed and we dwell on those things, and we make ourselves the martyr in that situation, and we're so consumed with the personal injury that has been done to us. We internalize it and we allow it to poison us. Pastor preached on it just a few weeks back on a root of bitterness. How we allow that thing to poison our spirit, and it's a self-centered response. Then there is the response that happens in a lot of marriages, and that is the withdrawing response. They hurt me. They said something that was offensive to me. And so now I'm going to give them the silent treatment. We're not talking. We're not just talking for a couple hours. We ain't going to talk for a couple days. And he's hugging his side of the bed, and she's hugging her side of the bed, and they're not talking to each other, and there's this line of division in the home because one or the other has withdrawn because of an offense. Then there is the response where people like to justify themselves, and that's the gossip response. They're going to give their side of the story. They're going to spin it so they make themselves appear blameless in the situation, and it's all the other person's fault. How many know what I'm talking about? I know I'm in somebody's backyard this evening. They want to justify and blame and paint themselves as innocent in a situation. And then there's this last one that I think is sometimes our favorite response, and that is the retaliation response. Somebody offends us, so we're going to offend them. They zing us about something, and we're going to zing them right back. We're going to get them, and they hurt us. We're going to hurt them just as much as they hurt us. Right? The only problem with some folks is they think of their response 2 hours too late. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You think, man, I wish I would have said that. Let me go back and call them up, or let me go back and say what I really think. You know, you've had time to process it and think about it. But, you know, we want them to hurt as much as they've hurt us. Kind of like this old guy, Leroy, who came to work one day, and some of his co-workers looked at Leroy, and they said, Leroy, what is that? What's that on your chest? Why does your chest look like that? Leroy says, well, let me tell you, old Willie over there has been bothering me, and every time I come to work, he thumps me on the chest. And I'm getting tired of it, he says. So I got me some dynamite in here. Next time he thumps me on the chest, I'm going to blow his hand clean off. How many know that don't work? We think we're going to hurt the other person, but instead we're really hurting ourselves. We think we're going to inflict pain, but really it inflicts pain in our lives. And the hardest part about offense is not the one-time offender. You know, we can deal with some folks, they do it once and you just move on. You don't have to deal with them again, but it's the ones that you have to put up with again and again. The family members, the co-workers, that co-worker that you work with, or that situation. Maybe it's somebody that likes, how about this, a boss that likes to pit one employee against another employee. Or a parent that puts one child, one of the siblings against another sibling. And people do that. They like to do one-upmanship on the job. They want to make themselves look good, so they put somebody else down. And it creates division. It creates division in families. It creates division in churches. It creates division in the workplace. And it's something that we have to understand how to deal with. And I'm going to give you some things. Sometimes it's not that profound how we deal with some of these situations. Listen to what it says in Romans 12 and verse 19. If you're taking notes, Romans 12 and 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. We like that, don't we? Leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Let me just stop short of reading the whole thing, and let's just stop it right there. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God. Leave room for God to work in that situation. If you look at the Message translation of that same verse in Romans 12 and 19, listen to how they put it there. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. I think that's funny because, you know, sometimes you have to look awful hard to find beauty in some people. If you're going to discover any beauty in some people, I think you, boy, God must have good eyes. We're going to discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Now, you know, this Message translation, it's sometimes good and fun to read, but I don't think they always get it exactly right. But listen to how they put it. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Well, you don't know what they're saying about me. You don't know how they're portraying me at work. You don't know what my wife or my husband, my spouse has said to me. You don't understand. You know, our reaction in life is typically the response of retaliation. Elena called me this week. My daughter, she lives up in Longmont. And she called and said that Brett got bit at school. He got bit at school. You know what my flesh answered before my spirit could? Now, Brett's only in kindergarten. You would think he was in high school, couldn't defend himself. My first thought was, we need to teach that little guy how to fight. It was just a bite. And he didn't even think it was as big a deal as I probably did. But you know, that's our first reaction, is our flesh answers before our spirit is able to answer. That's the natural course. We like to take our problems into our own hands. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what they did. You don't understand. They owe me money. You don't understand. They've hurt my reputation. He says, leave room for God. Don't take revenge, but leave room for God. I think when we take our problems into our own hands, we create more problems, don't we? We put God aside and we create more problems. We basically squeeze God out of the equation. But that's human nature, is revenge. Another response, and one that I want to touch on here that I mentioned earlier, is that response of gossip. We love it. We love those words. Guess what? Look at somebody and say, guess what? You know that something good is about to come after that. Hey, guess what? Don't tell anybody, but guess what? Did you hear about so-and-so? What they've been up to? Or what happened over here? And we've got this water cooler talk. And don't think water cooler talk only happens at the job. We got a few water coolers around here too. We got two or three on this side, a couple on this side. And churches get water cooler talk. People like to get into other people's business. Look at somebody else and say, why don't you mind your own business? Oh, no, that feels good to say, doesn't it? Proverbs 16:28. Trashing people and hurting a person's reputation doesn't just happen on the job. Christians, air quotes, Christians do the same thing. Quote, Christians, because they're not really Christians. Some folks are instruments of division. The devil's using them. A perverse person, in Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict. And a gossip separates close friends. A perverse person stirs up conflict. And a gossip separates close friends. You know, one day three ministers, this is a joke, it's not true, but one day three ministers were all fishing one day. They all pastored different churches in the same city. And they got to fishing out on a lake one day. And one guy says, you know, let me just tell you about my biggest sin. He says, my biggest sin is I sometimes go out drinking. I go to the next town where nobody knows me, and I get drunk on a Friday night, and I feel better. You know, pastoring's tough. It makes me forget all about all my problems. That's my big sin. The second pastor says, well, to be honest with you, my biggest sin is that every now and then I got to go and let off some steam and go gambling a little bit. I go up to Cripple Creek and gamble a little bit. And the third pastor says, I'm sorry, guys, but I should have probably gone first. I love a good gossip story, and I just can't wait to get back to town. That's my joke for the night. You know, do you remember when the children of Israel were wandering in the Old Testament? They were wandering, and they went around and around. They just kept on going. They were going and going, and the problem was they were not quite getting to where they were supposed to be. God gave them a promise. He says, I've got a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It belongs to you. And the Bible says that they began to complain. They began to murmur. They began to talk about their problems. They began to talk about Moses. They began to talk about the kind of food they were getting. They were complaining, and they were getting together saying, you know, I wish we didn't have to be here right now. I wish we could be back in Egypt. I wish we weren't eating this food. I don't like these shoes that they gave us. I don't like all this that we're dealing with. Why is it taking so long? When are we going to get there? Like kids in the back seat. Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? Complaining and murmuring and problem this and problem that. And you know what happened to all of those that were complaining and murmuring? Not a single one. Actually, only two of them made it into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. They missed out on the blessing that God had for their life because this attitude of water cooler talk in the wilderness. When are we going to get this? And why are we having to go through all of this and complain and murmur and problem after problem? Let me just tell you, I think it was because of this attitude that they had. They missed out on the blessings of God. I want to suggest this to you, that when people that are bitter and people that have a problem in their own heart are bitter and they begin to identify with other bitter people, or maybe they don't even really have that much of a problem, they just listen. They just listen. Say, I never said anything. But they listened. They didn't stand up. They didn't reject that work of darkness in the moment. And then instead of saying, you know what, this is not for me. This line of communication, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to be a party to this. That when we open ourselves up to people that are bitter, it's only a matter of time. It could be a bitterness about the boss. It could be an attitude about another coworker. It could be somebody that they just simply don't like marriage, and they're bitter because their marriage failed or because they've been affected in some negative way, and so they're bitter about these things. The more you associate with people that have a spirit of discontent and bitterness and that attitude, we begin to pick up on those things. And it's only a matter of time that we begin to, instead of identifying with the people of God and in identifying with what God's plans and God's best is, we start identifying with what the devil is doing, and there's a foothold that's gained in our lives. Next thing you know, we're wondering, how did we get so far? How did our line of thinking, how did our minds get so off track? What happened? Where did that come from? The devil isn't stupid. He knows how to manipulate people. He knows how to manipulate emotions. He knows how to bring division and discord and separate families. He knows how to separate marriages. He would love to destroy you. He'd love to destroy this church. He'd love to destroy the things that God is doing in your life. He'd love to take advantage of your future and your destiny. Unless we recognize and realize there's a real enemy out there, there's a real strategy of the devil, and he is doing everything within his power to undermine what God would want to do. Unless we realize that, we're in serious trouble. Listen to what Hebrews 12 and 15 says out of the Living Bible. Hebrews 12, 15, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. That means it is a poison. It is a cancer that works in a marriage. It works in a family. It works within ministries and in so many areas. And it affects our relationship with God. We cannot say, well, I'll listen to it, but I won't be affected by it. I'll be around it, but I won't be touched by it. It can't touch me. It won't happen to me. It does affect our relationship with God. How many can say you've been hurt and you've been offended at one time or another? Let me see your hands. How many are sitting next to somebody that's hurt or offended somebody before? Everybody ought to raise their hands. Because we do it. Sometimes we don't realize it. I found sometimes, probably you do realize it, actually. Stephen Covey, who is an author, he's a business guy and speaks to businesses, and he's a best-selling author. He says this. I thought this is so appropriate with this message. He says, we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge other people by their actions. Think about it. We judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge other people by their actions. You know what we say? Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to hurt them. You know what that does? It lets us off the hook easy. Oh, I didn't mean to hurt their feelings. And we do it in marriage. Oh, I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to offend you. But when somebody offends us, guess what? We're going to hold their feet to the fire. They're going to pay. And judgment is coming. We do like the James and John, the sons of thunder. We're going to call fire down from heaven on them. We say, God, and we begin to pray and pray some witchcraft prayers on them, you know. We're going to call fire down from heaven, and we're gonna you know, pray, God, get them, God, kill them, God, do whatever it is you need to do to them. That's not what I meant. That's not what I intended, and we let ourselves off the hook. And what does that do? It just really affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with God. Jesus says it here in Luke chapter 6 and 37. Don't judge. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. We know that one. We've had that one repeated back to us a time or two. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. A lot of times we use that. We take that verse and we use it for an offering. We'll turn it into a financial verse. But think about this. When we give forgiveness and we give mercy, it's measured back to us. You show grace to somebody. Somebody that's offended you. Somebody that's done something. And you show forgiveness to that person. How many know forgiveness is poured back into your life? You withhold grace, you withhold mercy, you withhold forgiveness, then that same grace, mercy, and forgiveness is withheld from our lives. He's saying with the same measure that you offer those things, it will be poured back and measured into your own life. And the Message translation puts it like this: don't pick on people, jump on their failures and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those that are down. That hardness can boomerang. That's the part I thought is so interesting. That hardness can boomerang. You think that you're somehow exempt, and we think we're exempt from having those things happen to us. That same harshness that we deal out and we're so quick to hand out can boomerang on us. What does that mean? Well, it means one day we'll be in need of mercy, and one of these days we're going to need forgiveness. We're going to be asking for forgiveness in a situation. When we're merciful, that's how we receive mercy. Sometimes, you know, people wonder, why is there such a gap? Why is it that I don't feel the presence of God? I don't sense the presence of God. Could it be that there is an area of unforgiveness or something that has been left unchecked in our hearts, and we have not dealt out forgiveness and mercy where we need to deal it? With somebody. It hurts us in our walk with God. When we don't deal with things, how many know they just bottle up? It's like a 2-liter bottle of soda that you just start shaking. The pressure begins to build until finally one day somebody's going to open that thing up and there's going to be a mess in the kitchen. I'm going to ask if our musicians would come. You know, you can keep your Bibles open. Frank, I'm still going to give you a few more scriptures. So, oh, you got to come up here, don't you? Okay. All right, come on up. I was offended for a second, but I'm just kidding. You know, when we don't deal with things, we bottle them up. And it hurts our relationship. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said to myself, I'm going to quit complaining. I'll keep quiet, especially when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there silently, the turmoil within me grew to the bursting point. You know, that's in Psalm 39. This is how Scripture puts it. The more I mused, the more I thought about it, the hotter the fires inside. And then at last, I spoke with God. He says, the more I thought about those things, and I stood there silently, the turmoil, it just began to boil in me. It began I just got filled up. That's how we are. When we don't deal with things, when you don't deal with things in a marriage, eventually it comes to an explosion point. And it's not going to be pretty. And sometimes when we speak, we make things worse. We want to all we care about is just getting it off our chest. We want to feel better. We don't care that it makes everything else worse. We just feel better. It's how we are. It's our nature. And the last thing we want to do is that last part of that verse. Then at last I spoke and pled with God. That's probably one of the last things we want to do is pray. But let me tell you, the answer to dealing with hurts and offenses is to bring that need and that situation to God. That's the answer. I know that's not the answer some folks want because they think, well, there's got to be something I can do. That's where the flesh gets in the way of what God wants to do. And when the flesh gets in the way, you miss out on what God, something miraculous, something marvelous. God's in the business of bringing people together. God's in the business of restoring homes and restoring marriages. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, if we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, listen, prayer may not change the other person, but it'll change you. Well, I want my prayers to straighten them out. You leave that to God. What prayer does is it changes us. So in Scripture, you remember where it says, he says, if somebody offends you, you go to that person and you sort it out. But before we go to that person, let me tell you what the right attitude is, and the right heart is to make our heart right before God. Before we go over to them and open up a can of you know what, we ought to talk to the Lord and pray and get our own heart right and ask God, Lord, forgive me. God, change. Lord, I need your help. And then when we go and we talk to that person, if we present ourselves to that person, then we're not speaking out of our own flesh. Because you can come across in the flesh and it doesn't bring healing to the situation. Matthew 5:43. Says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's just one verse right there. We could stop right there and people would be, that's what the Bible says. But Jesus says in verse 44, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. That goes for that co-worker or those people that have blocked you maybe from getting a promotion and they create problems for you. You want to just straighten everybody out at work. But let me tell you, there is a better way in handling those things. Love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. And then it says in Ephesians 4, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on you while you're still angry. That means just simply get your heart right with God. And the verse that follows, you ought to look it up. I'm not going to ask you to go there now, but it's Ephesians 4:26. That's the scripture I just read. Verse 27 says, for anger gives the devil a foothold. Anger gives the devil a foothold. Let me just tell you how Emily and I, when we first got married, when we would fight and we would argue about different things, sometimes we'd get into a heated argument and it would go till late because everybody told us, you know, don't go to sleep mad and, you know, sort those things out. But sometimes I would fall asleep. I'll just be honest with you. And she wouldn't wake me up. And I wake up in the morning and I would be just as happy as can be. And she's still mad. I say, what's your problem? I felt better. I mean, no, that's not good. But it says anger gives a foothold to the devil. And when we deal with our heart, you know, the Word of God has a lot to do, and this scripture right here has a lot to do with the spiritual climate of our heart. Don't give the devil a foothold, because footholds become these greater openings for the devil. They would say in Kenya, if the dog gets his head in, the body will follow. You open the door, the dog gets his head in, the body's going to follow. And when the devil gets a foot in, he gets more than a foot in. His whole body gets in. He gets into the whole mess and turns it all upside down. First, go to God in prayer. Let God sort them out. Amen. Let's bow our heads all across this place. Father, I pray that you would just speak to us and touch us, God. Lord, I just pray that across this place that you would minister and bring healing, Lord. Many situations and families and workplaces, Lord, in church ministry areas, whatever it is. God, we need you. We need your hand upon our hearts in the name of Jesus. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, first I want to give opportunity for those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those in this place that have not acknowledged him as Lord of their lives. And as you're listening to my voice, you can say, you know, Jesus doesn't sit. He doesn't reign on the throne of my heart. There are so many other things. There's other things that take priority in my life. God doesn't have that preeminence, that place of rulership in my life. He doesn't reign in my life. But I want Jesus to come into my heart. You know, if we ask Jesus to come into our lives, he doesn't want to be second or third on the list. He doesn't want to be something we just add to our routine and Sunday becomes a ritual and it's just a religious thing. He says, I want to be Lord of your life. I want to have first place. When we give him first place, I'm telling you, he walks with us. He gives us direction. He gives us hope for the future. And we have that assurance that when we step out of this life into eternity, we're going to be with him. How many across this place, you say, Pastor, I know that's what I need. I need him in my life. I need salvation. I need Jesus. I need to know him. I want prayer. How many across this place would lift up your hands? You just say, that's me. Put it up and put it right back down. You need salvation. This is not church membership. This is salvation. I'm talking about repentance, turning from sin. Say, well, I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. Maybe there are other areas. Maybe there's something. Sin is anything that separates us from God. You say, I see that in my life. I want Jesus to be first. How many, one last time, you'd lift up your hands and say, Pastor, pray for me. When you pray, count me in. Amen. God bless you. See these two hands. How many others? How many others? Amen. I see this one. How many more? Yes, sir. God bless you. Glory to God. Maybe there's some here you've been offended. You know what? We've all been offended. Maybe you deal with things on your job. It's like never ending. You'd really rather not even be there. Could be in your marriage. You just need God to help you. You need God to step in right there. Why don't you bring that situation to the Lord? Why don't you say, God, I can't carry this. I can't deal with these things. I'm weary of it. I want to quit. I want to give up. God, I need your help. I need strength. Bring that to the Lord. God will give you strength. God will help you, your heart to be right. God will even work on that other side. He says, don't take it into your own hands. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let's all stand in this place. Those that lifted their hands, if you would, please, would you just step out of your seat, if you would, and come and find a place down at this altar. And if you didn't lift your hand, you just want to get in the presence of God and pray about some things, these altars are open this evening. You come and you find a place to pray. Amen. As we sing, you come. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Lord.